Oh, my goodness. And you came out. There's a tropical storm going right over us, and you made it to church today, and I thank you so much. I love you guys so much. I have said so frequently this week, and even in my prayers, I do not deserve an amazing God who has loved and saved me and saved us. I do not deserve to have such an amazing wife and family. I love them so much, and an amazing church, and I love you guys so much. You all have been so kind and gracious to Emily and I over the years, and we love you so much. Thank you. And this passage of Scripture today, Romans chapter 16, is so appropriate for what we're looking at, what we're going to talk about. It is an incredibly unique chapter in all the Bible. It is so warm and loving and kind and gracious. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul. He's signing off and he's closing down this book of Romans. And you would expect this massive intellect, this great theologian, to really have no people skills at all. To just be dry, you know, like the old gray-haired professor that just writes and he is so mean to people. He knows their names and he loves them. And ministry for the Apostle Paul was all about people. It wasn't anything about budgets and buildings. It was about people. What an example he is. And he takes an entire chapter just to tell people, I love you, I'm grateful for you, and show hospitality and kindness to one another. It's contagious, the love that he has. And if I can impart that to you all, this has always been a loving and kind church. And you all have been impacted by the Word of God and the love of God. And it's so contagious here at Richland Creek. This is the final chapter, the Apostle Paul. He's saying, thank you for doing this, thank you. I thank God for you, I thank God for you. But I can also tell you that having pastored for 22 years, somebody told me, you know, the average tenure for a pastor is 6 years. I'm like, wow, I knew it was tough, but 6 years. 22 years, I did well, right? I'm retiring now. I'm 85 years old. Last week I said I was 74. And it's interesting that Paul remembers people. He expresses love toward them. But oftentimes in our world today, we hear people say, don't thank me. And I say, hey, Romans 16. Paul and the Holy Spirit take a whole chapter of Scripture to say, it's okay to say, I thank God for you. Because God uses people to accomplish his plans and his purposes. I mean, even just in the last week, how many of you have been encouraged by another believer, instructed by another believer, brought along in the faith and served by another believer? We all have. And I thank God for you. So here in the final chapter, think of this journey of Romans, the Apostle Paul. The first 8 chapters were deep doctrine, where the apostle stepped on our toes and really called us out. He talked about salvation. He talked about sanctification. It was rich in doctrine. So we went from the beginning in this first 8 chapters of doctrine to dispensational. He talked about Israel's past, present, and futures, Romans 9, 10, and 11. And then we get to chapters 12 through 15, and it was Christianity in shoe leather. I mean, we're living out our faith, how to live out the Christian faith. We got toward the end of chapter 15, and Paul just got real personal. He started talking about his plans that God had given him, his dreams that God had given him. And it was all centered around the gospel. His life was centered around the gospel. Chapter 15, he said, first now, I got to go to Jerusalem because I can help people. We took up an offering to the saints, the Jewish saints in Jerusalem. They're poor. Paul had a heart to help people. I'm so grateful for a church that does as well. He was writing Romans, hadn't yet been in Rome, but he was writing from Corinth. He said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, then I'm going to, Lord willing, get to Rome. Rome on my way to Spain, the ends of the earth at that time. We heard his dream, his vision, to take the gospel where the gospel had not yet been taken, where they had not yet heard the gospel. So many places in our world today still have not heard, it's amazing, have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. We take it for granted. We have a nice place where we hear the gospel. Just about every week we hear the gospel. And yet there are places and people that have not yet heard the gospel. And that's our heart here, to take the gospel where the gospel has not yet been proclaimed. But now we get to chapter 16, and he thanks them and expresses his love, and he's going to call out 33 people by name and refer to others. He begins in verse 1, and he says, I commend to you Phoebe. Phoebe? I mean, we wouldn't even know these people if it hadn't have been for the Holy Spirit inspiring Paul to write about these people. I cannot wait to see you all in heaven on the other side. We will spend eternity together. Eternity never ends. If you walk up to me at the end of this service and say, Pastor, could we go get a cup of coffee for 1,000 years? I'll say, of course. We can go talk about everything. But Jesus will be there. And he's going to be the centerpiece of heaven, the Lamb of God. There he is, our Savior. Until then, we've got work to do to tell the good news. And he's going to start naming people who have been a part of his ministry. I commend to you Phoebe. He starts off with this lady who had obviously resources. She was a Gentile. And she is the one who actually receives the book of Romans, the letter, the epistle that we've been studying. This handwritten letter to the Romans, written by the apostle Paul through a scribe, through a secretary. And she is going to be entrusted there in Corinth to take this letter and hand deliver it to the church in Rome. Can you imagine Phoebe on this journey? She's carrying the only copy of the book of Romans. She's taking it to Rome. Any chance she wouldn't make it? No way. God had this thing planned all along. God has used women in amazing ways to advance the kingdom of God. Paul looks to who can I trust? This letter to the Romans. And there she is, Phoebe. I commend Phoebe to you when she arrives to you in Rome and when you read this letter from me. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister. She's a believer who is a servant or a deaconess. She is a deaconess of the church in Centria. The people there know her. She is a woman prominent, woman of means, and trustworthy, useful for the kingdom of God. I commend to you Phoebe. He's going to say four things about Phoebe. Our sister, she's a believer, and a servant of the church. That you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saint. She is a saint, a sister, a saint, a servant. And that you would assist her in whatever business she has need of. Help her. The more you help her, the more the kingdom of God advances. Help her in any and whatever business she has need of you. For indeed, she has been a helper. She has come alongside the Apostle Paul and the project of gospel advancement. This has been her heart as well. She has been a helper of many, and Paul says, and she has been a helper of me also. Now, each one of us has a journey. And you can think about your journey of faith. My journey doesn't look like this. My journey looks like this, but hopefully we're maturing in Christ. We can think about others that God has put in our path, older and younger, different nationalities, different backgrounds that have come alongside us and encouraged us. Those who have loved and prayed for and encouraged us. Paul's reflecting on that. She's been a helper of many and of myself also. May we be a helper of others as we live out our faith. He goes on and he says in verse 3, also greet Priscilla and Aquila. Paul had led them to the Lord, and now they've grown in their faith, and God is using Priscilla and Aquila, tent makers. Paul may have encountered them during his occupation as a tent maker as he would travel. And the word that begins verse 3 is greet. It's used 16 times. I want you to know that there is so much warmth coming out of this unique chapter of Scripture. There's so much warmth and love and encouragement. Greet them. I thank God for them. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers. Now, from my vantage point, I see you and I'm looking and all your names are coming to my mind and I'm just going, I remember the time when you prayed with me. I remember the time you encouraged me. I remember the hugs. I remember the handshakes. I remember the kind words. I remember all of those things by God's grace. Paul's remembering them, my fellow workers. What a joy it was. My fellow workers in Christ Jesus who risk their own necks. They risk their lives for me. Those are the kind of people you want to serve with, amen? Those are the kind of people you love being in ministry with. They would do anything for you. They love you. They pray for you. Priscilla and Aquila, who risk their own necks for my life, to whom not only, you see these three words, I give thanks. I give thanks. But I also give thanks to all of the churches of the Gentiles. These churches that are being planted where churches had not existed before. Loved going this past week out in Durham. We met with Alpha International Ministries and Pastor Finney and others were there. Many whom I had not met before. People that have that common heart, like many of you, planting churches and raising up leaders and other pastors who would reach these different nations. How beautiful that sounds to our ears, those who long to see the gospel spread in places where the gospel does not exist. And that's our heartbeat as believers. And these churches now are being planted and scattering all throughout the world, from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, now all the way to Rome and possibly even Spain. And in our world, we would say places like India and Indonesia, China, places where they don't have a building. They meet in homes. The churches are spreading and people are being saved. And the kingdom of God is marching on. And we are a part of it. He says, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. You know, it wasn't until the 3rd century that they started building buildings with the express purpose of gathering places. They were just meeting in homes. I can remember the testimony of pastors in India that they would get on their bicycles and bike to these different villages bringing Bibles and having Bible studies, and it was always in a house. Some of these little houses had 40 people in it jammed in. From 1 a.m. to 5 a.m., they did a Bible study because of the persecution. You think about our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world today, and a large number of them meet in houses, sometimes under the cover of darkness, to get together, and the kingdom of God is advancing. Greet the church, the called out ones that meet in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, which means praise. Epaphroditus, why does he call him out? He says, he's the first fruits of Achaia. He was the first one to be saved in Asia Minor as the gospel was spreading. It was the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. First one to be saved in Asia. Paul's like, yes, the gospel's moving now. And don't we rejoice even now as we see people being saved here each and every week? The gospel has spread from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to Spain and then to England. And then it came to America. And you and I are the beneficiaries of what we're reading unfolding here and also in the book of Acts. In fact, the book of Acts is not even finished yet. God's truth is marching on. It came all the way around the world, and now it's reverberating and echoing back to places that have not yet heard. He says in verse 6, "Greet Mary, who labored much for us." Wow. "Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen." He's referring to Jewish people when he says "my countrymen." "And my fellow prisoners." Prisoners? Yeah, Paul was in prison frequently for preaching the gospel, for talking about Jesus. And he met people in prison and he would lead them to Christ, and God was using all of these things. Yeah, you greet them, those who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. They got saved before I did. They were in Christ before me. But the most important thing for all of us in this room is that we are in Christ. Why do you say that? Why do I say it's important? It's everything. Are you in Christ? You're either in Christ or you're not in Christ. And this world passes by so fast. Time goes by so fast. Your life is just a vapor that lasts a little while, the Bible says, and then there you are before your King and your Creator. You're either in Christ or you're not in Christ. And all of eternity hinges on, what have you done with Jesus? Are you in Christ? That's the urgency of the gospel message. Not only to receive it and to be saved, but to live it out to the glory of God. Yeah, they were in Christ before me, he says. "Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord." You just hear the warmth coming. I love that guy. You know, what's interesting, as he's naming all these names, Urbanus, Apelles, Stachys, Mary, Andronicus, Junia, and these who were in prison. Amplius, in verse 8, is a common slave name. Paul didn't mind being associated with the dregs of society. Paul didn't mind. This has to be the inspiration where Garth Brooks got his song, "I've got friends in low places," right? It's okay. I'm already kind of leaving. Next week might be real rough, right? Sing Garth Brooks. Low places. It's okay. Paul loved the outcast. We should, and we do, we love the outcast. Doesn't matter your social status, the size of your bank account. You are created in the image of God. The Lord loves you. He died for you. People were important to Paul. They're important to us. God was taking these nobodies and these outcasts, and he was redeeming them and saving them, and they were being part of the church, part of the gospel spreading. The world may not have recognized them or loved them, but God was working in them in mighty ways. God chooses nobodies and turns them into somebodies without consulting anybody. How about that? He doesn't have to get a recommendation from somebody. God knows. So he says in verse 9, "Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, Stachys, my beloved," so warm, so tender, so caring. "Greet Apelles, approved and tested in Christ." "Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus." All of these, and Paul's just rattling them off because they have had an impact on him and an impact on the gospel. And I want you to know that as I'm reading this, so many names are flooding my mind of people from the ministry here at Richland Creek and elsewhere. He says in verse 11, "Greet Herodian, my countrymen, Jewish. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord." Uses that phrase a lot. In the Lord. Are you in the Lord? Have you been saved? There's a difference between being in the Lord and in the church. Churches today will have many people who are in the church but not in the Lord. Have you trusted Christ? Have you been saved? Is your life changed? Are you living for Him? In verse 12, he says, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa. Their names actually mean delicate and dainty. Maybe they were somewhat frail, but they were tiny but mighty in the Lord. God was using them. Perhaps you're looking at twins. We have twins in my younger brother has twins, my older brother has twins. Emily comes from a family of twins. I don't know how we didn't have twins. And that has nothing to do with this passage of scripture. But Tryphena and Tryphosa, twins, who have labored in the Lord. You know what it means to labor? The lost art. The older generation knew what it meant to work. My dad felt obligated to teach me that. Always a list. I'm not going to say too much because you're going to tell him next week when you see him. Your son was bad-mouthing you. No, he had a list. Go turn the compost pile. Go dig this. Go plant this. Go do that. Wash your mom's car. Wax it. All that kind of stuff. Come home. Hey, son. I love you. How's the list? Work. You ever, I give my son an assignment. You're going to go out in the yard and pick up all the gumballs. You know what the gumballs are? It's not things you chew. They're things you don't want to step on. They're like natural version of the Lego, you know? God's version of the Lego. Go out there with this bucket and get all the gumballs up. Oh, sweet music. I used to sing that same song. Work. They've labored in the Lord and greet the beloved Persis who labored much in the Lord. How will your story be written? How will you be remembered? These are being remembered here, but your story is remembered as well. Labored much in the Lord. I don't know, our stories are still being written. Talked to some of you who said, all right, I kind of messed up the first half of this thing, but I got the second half in front of me. Take dead aim on the rest of my life and live for the Lord. Labored much in the Lord. Verse 13, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Now, when he says his mother and mine, I have to believe he's referring to spiritually speaking and even just by way of life, she mothered him. She mothered Paul, his mother by birth, and my mother in the sense that she mothered me. Greet Rufus. Now, what's interesting about Rufus, this is probably the Rufus where his father is mentioned in Mark chapter 15, verse 21, as Simon of Cyrene, the one who carried the cross for the Lord. Simon of Cyrene picked up the cross for a little bit and carried it for Jesus. And this is his son, Rufus, who is now in Rome doing the Lord's work. Praise God. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. And then here we go, just a challenge to read these things out loud. Everybody want to read them with me? Anybody want to volunteer? Greet Asyncritus. Where have all the good names gone? We don't have a single. We looked it up on the database. No, Asyncritus is here. And Phlegon. Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. Greet Philologus. Anybody here? If you're expecting, or maybe in the next few years, we can get a Philologus and an Asyncritus. And Julian, and Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them, they're in Christ. And they're serving the Lord. Paul's saying, thank God for them. And then he says something very important. And this might be the key verse of chapter 16. He says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Greet one another. Go out of your way to be intentional, to be loving, to be kind, to encourage, to be warm. And I was reading a study this past week that said, when you greet guests, it is better to not greet guests at all unless you're going to be warm and kind and intentional, as opposed to greeting somebody like this. Yeah, hey man, how you doing? They says that does more damage than good. Hey, turn around and greet somebody. You're here first time at Richland Creek. Somebody says, hey, how you doing? Just mumbles, don't even look at them. It's cold as ice. But because of God's love for you, you turn around and you love other people that same way. Well, they don't deserve it. I know. You don't either. That's the point. You can be nice to me. I don't deserve it. I can be nice to you. We love one another. The kindness, the encouragement. And I so love and appreciate that about our church here at Richland Creek. Be genuine, kind, and loving. Greet one another with the holy kiss. Now, every one of you has sinned today because nobody kissed me. It says it right here in the Bible. I got a couple hugs and a handshake. Come on. In all fairness to the scripture, it's just speaking in its vernacular of a warm greeting, okay? The handshakes and the hugs are actually perfectly fine. Prefer not the kisses. Now, the churches of Christ greet you as well. Now, it's interesting, although Paul has gone through all of the doctrine, he feels like he wants to put something in that kind of steps away from this warm greeting. And for those reasons, I actually find this very important. It's like, I've already finished teaching. I'm just greeting. But I do want to say one thing. That's kind of the flavor. And it's in his love for the people. It's almost like very parental. I love you guys. Hey, by the way, be careful about this. This could hurt you. So he makes note of it, and we do well to make note of it as well. He says, now I urge you, verse 17, brethren, talking to the believers, I urge you to note those who cause divisions. Do those people still exist in church, or that was way back when? You know, there are those who cause divisions. And the Proverbs say that six things that God hates, that's one of them. Those who are divisive and cause divisions and offenses. They exist. I see them. It breaks my heart. Those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine you learned, not only note them, but the Bible says avoid them. What do they look like? Well, he explains a little bit in verse 18. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus, though they are in the church. But they serve their own belly, that is to say, their own appetites, their own desires. They serve their own desires, and how do you know them? By their smooth words and flattering speech. They will roll up on you. Something you loved, you now hate. Something you once trusted, now you don't. Someone you once loved, now you don't. They told you something, man. That turns you around. And it says, through smooth words and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the simple. That is those who are weaker and not aware of those type of things taking place. So be careful, he says. And in verse 19, kind of switches gears. He says, for your obedience in Christ. What's happening there in Rome and the church there in Rome, your obedience has become known to all. People hear about what's going on. And praise the Lord for that. Therefore, he says, I'm glad that you're walking with the Lord. I'm glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise now. Don't be naive. I want you to be wise in what is good. Be wise in the word. Be wise in the ways of God. Be wise. Grow up. Spiritual maturity now. You know, you worry about it if a new believer goes out into the world and they go to the party scenes and you're wondering, can they stand on their own? Can my children live in the world and stand on their own? I'm worried that somebody might come along and sweep them away. But you instead be grounded, be strong and wise in the word, that you can go out and rather than being a thermostat or a thermometer, and if you've never heard me use this expression, some people are thermostats and some people are thermometers. I worry about the weak. They're like thermometers. Wherever they go, they just change with the temperature. But a thermostat says, this is who I am, and I set the temperature in the room, and I'm going to go in here, and I can go to those places and not be influenced, but be an influencer. That's what he's dealing with here. I want you to be wise in what is good. Be strong in the word. And I want you to be simple, innocent concerning evil, not mixed together with evil. And then he says this in verse 20. He says, and you underline this, and this doesn't go on forever, beloved. He says, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Very soon, God is going to crush Satan and all that comes along with the kingdom of darkness is going to go away. And there will be no more death, no more dying, no more tears, no more crying. The former things will have passed away, and there'll be a new home in which righteousness dwells. And when's that going to happen? Well, he says right here, God's going to do it soon. Aren't you glad? We know the end of the story, how God is going to accomplish these things. God will crush Satan under your feet. Soon. I can't wait for that day. I can't wait for that day. I can't wait for the day that we're all together without sin, without Satan, without all the effects of it. My sore back will have glorified bodies, and most of all, we'll be with the Lord Jesus. When is that going to happen? Soon, he says. Soon he reminds us. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And then he talks about some of the folks that are with him. Timothy, my fellow co-worker, and Lucius and Jason. And so Sosipater, he's here. You guys were wondering where he went. He's there. My countrymen, they greet you. Now here's something we didn't know. In verse 22, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, who wrote this letter, I greet you in the Lord. Paul has finished dictating to his secretary, his scribe, his amanuensis is what they referred to him as. So Tertius is writing down by way of dictation, but then all of a sudden, he starts writing in his own thing. He's like, I'm going to say hello. This warmth is contagious. This greeting, this love is contagious. So if anybody ever asks you, who wrote the book of Romans? You could say Paul, or you could say Tertius, because Tertius was the one who actually penned the letter under the dictation of the apostle Paul. And then he wraps it up. Look at verse 23. And Gaius, my host, and the host of the whole church. He has the gift of hospitality. Thank you all so much who serve in the welcome ministry, greeting people, loving people, showing them around. And the guys and gals that serve in the parking lot ministry, always my heroes. I praise God for you. I thank God for you. The host of the whole church, he greets you. And Erastus, the treasurer of the city. Man, we've got everybody here. We've got the treasurer of the city. We've got guys who've been in prison. We've got Jews. We've got Gentiles. We've got older. We've got younger. And that's the body of Christ with all of its eclectic members, different functions, all together. The word is getting out. He says, and Quartus, a brother, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. In the last three verses, and then we'll close, He gives this benediction. It's a doxology. Doxa, praise, glory, ology, logos, word or a saying. It's a saying and a word of praise and glory to God. The scriptures are filled with doxologies in the Old and in the New Testament. And here he closes this almost as a summary of Romans. Very rich, but we'll go through it quickly. In verse 25, he says, Now to God, who is able, who is powerful. God is able to establish you. That is to strengthen you and to put your feet on solid ground. To strengthen you because you needed strengthening. To strengthen us because we weren't born spiritually mature. And spiritual maturity does not come through chronological aging, but by the study of God's word and by the living out of the faith. And God now is the one who has the power to put your feet on solid ground and to grow you up and to mature you and to establish you according to my gospel. It's the gospel of God and the power of God that actually brings stability and maturity and growth in your life. Nothing else can transform you. It's only the power of God and his word and his gospel that does that. He says, and the preaching of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel that saves, the preaching of Christ that brings life and understanding to the very purpose of our lives. Kids go away to college. They ask the question, who am I? Why am I here? What's my purpose in life? Three big questions. You're supposed to figure it out in college. No, you figure it out by reading the revelation of God's word. He tells you who you are, how you got here, and what's your purpose in life. Now we're standing on solid ground because God has told us. God has the ability and the power to establish us in the gospel. And in the preaching, the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation God has revealed. But says here, the revelation of the mystery, the mysterion. There were some things in the Old Testament that were once concealed, but in the New Testament they are now revealed. The Messiah. Concealed, sort of, now revealed. The church concealed. Now we see one man, Jews and Gentiles together, and the birth of the church, salvation coming to all nations, Jews and Gentiles, and this is becoming unveiled as we go into the New Testament. God has made it known. It's kept secret since the world began, but now it is known to us. Verse 26, but now made known and manifest, how? By the scriptures. God has revealed it to us. That's why we always teach the whole counsel of God's word. We're not interested in the opinions and the rituals of men. He says, but now through the scriptures, it's made known to all nations. According to the commandment. Whose commandment? The everlasting God. He decreed it to be so for the obedience to the faith, that those who are his people would hear, respond in faith, and walk in faith. And then he closes in verse 27. He says, to God, who is alone wise. Now he could have said alone powerful and holy and all-knowing and all-present. But the wisdom of God is manifest in his plan that has unfolded by his own decree. To God who is alone wise, to him be glory, and only to him be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. And amen. 33 names given in Romans, an entire chapter of greetings and gratitude. And you and I could close the book and reflect on other names. Names of those in our lives who we give thanks. And I have spent a lot of time this week reflecting on that and giving thanks to God for you. People that have impacted you and me for the kingdom of God. And so I also, along with the Apostle Paul, in closing now, want to say, I thank God for you. I love you all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word to us today. A unique chapter in the Bible, to be sure. We ask for your blessing to be upon your word, to our hearts, to our understanding. Father, we thank you for this gospel that saves, this gospel that teaches us. Lord, we ask for your blessing on our time of invitation now, that if anybody has not placed their faith in the gospel, Christ died for us, was buried, and rose again, that you would speak in their hearts today. Lord, bless our time of invitation. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.